Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of Bare Belief. I'm Gabriel, and I'm here with Jessica. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Gabriel.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Well, it's a party in here.
So, to put more budget in our sound effects department.
We are a very mom and pop operation here. But it is the new year. As we are recording this, it is not quite the new year yet. We're recording this in advance because hopefully you're out there partying like we are. I don't know what Jess is up to, but while you're listening to this, or at least when this comes out, I will be somewhere sunning myself in the Caribbean.
I won't be friends when you're there.
Well, that's too bad for you. Not so much for me. I'm going to be fine. But I wish you could come. You still room. If you want to come, you can join me. Anyway, yeah, so the new year is upon us. I hope your holidays were great. I hope that all of you listeners had an absolute fantastic holiday season and gearing up for New Year's. We thought we'd give a little bit of thought to the new year and what that might mean or look like from a kind of an interesting perspective. So do you have any, maybe given any thought at all to resolutions or what you can expect out of next year?
I don't really do resolutions because I think, you know, they actually say within the first 2 weeks, most people's resolutions are done. But yeah, I think I try to put aspirations in there. And
same.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I've been working really hard and lots of extra hours. So I really want to like focus that and sort of make sure I have those times of rest.
Okay.
Right. Like 1 day off a week isn't always the greatest, but to make sure I get that full weekend.
So more time for yourself and your family.
And really, you know, I think being a little less flexible with my schedule. Because again, I'm a bit of a people pleaser. So, okay, so you'll do that. So I'll sacrifice this. Like maybe it's my gym time or, okay, I'll come to work at that time instead of go to the gym. And then I'll do the gym, you know, a couple hours later, but then I won't get there because I'm tired. You know, like what are my priorities and I had a trainer called hard stops. So what are those hard stops for next year? That'll kind of get me to those things. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to sort of be fitter? Maybe not you.
No, you know what? You say that.
Perfect.
But it's one of those things that it's never fit enough. So
right.
I don't know. You always see the flaws.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think I just kind of want to, just have kind of more fun. But no, I haven't really thought of any like resolution per se.
Yeah, I'm not a big resolution guy either. Like I don't, but the thing is, I'm constantly, this is going to sound so hokey, but I don't care. I do try to better myself like constantly. Like it's the thing I think about a lot. Like I kind of feel like in a way that one of my purposes in life and one of my reasons for being here is to just keep improving, like no matter what that means, like if that means in myself, like my how I am as a person, how I am towards others, like I'm always questioning. Like I heard a psychiatrist once talk about keys to successful relationships, and one of the things that she mentioned that really stuck with me was that you kind of have to think about what is it like to be in a relationship with you. So I like to think of the perspective of like, what is it like to be around me, to be my friend, or in, if I ever find another one, to be my partner? Like, what is that experience like? And that was one of those moments where it kind of awoke something in me where I was like, I never thought about that. Like, so I guess for the new year, I think I'm just going to keep doing that. I want to keep improving myself. I'm probably going to keep taking classes because I like to learn. So that's going to continue. I'm definitely going to have some fitness goals. I'm starting a cut on January 5th. So I have a very specific fat percentage that I want to reach by April. Sorry. And once the cut is done, then I have another goal. I want to gain some more muscle mass. So that'll be the second part of the year. So that's my big physical goal or health goals. And that's pretty much it. I just want to be generally happy. Like, that's all that matters in the end. You know, I think I want to be happy, create happiness around me. Like we said last time, maybe some joy, spread some love around, and hope and peace. If we bring it back to the previous conversation, it's like, this is the thing that's kind of, it's interesting because, as you know, like from an atheistic perspective, like those, what did you call them? Gifts? The four gifts of, the promises of the Advent. Like, even from someone who's coming at it from a non-religious perspective, like there's a lot of value in that. There's a lot of value in those four things, like hope, peace, joy, and love are all things that I personally find important. So those conversations got me thinking, and it's kind of maybe for next year something that I want to do, that I want to keep that going. Like, I don't think this has to stay in Advent. I think this is a something.
No, again, it's sort of that pit stop, right?
Exactly.
That you really sort of focus on it. And yeah, so it's great that you brought that up because, yeah, that's where I eval. Like, how have I done in these areas? And one ritual I like to do is a vision board. Yeah, I did one once just because, again, I had too many thoughts in my head. And it's like, where can I put it? And it was, I think it was just sort of in the middle of COVID. And even with all the work stuff, I'd, you know, write whatever, put it on a sticky. And put it on my wall in the living room. And so my husband would call it my crazy wall because it was just pure different colors and all these just random thoughts. So, and I like doing art projects. So it was just lovely to sort of have it in this sort of artistic representation that, again, and not collage, like some people like to do it like the collage style, but sort of symbols. And yeah, because I had done one with a phoenix in the middle. And then like with sunflowers, and each sunflower was a different area of life. And yeah, so I thought that was kind of cool. And I left it in the hallway right where I pass every day. And it was kind of cool.
Have I walked by this thing?
No, it's not up anymore. Like that was a couple.
I was going to say, like, I've walked down that hallway numerous times. How have I not seen it?
Yeah, no, I haven't done it for a while, but I need to do it again. And then, because when you pass it, you're like, oh, yeah, I really wanted to do that, you know? So it kind of keeps it in the front.
That's a good idea. I have something similar in my office area. I have a, it's called a Kanban board, similar to the project board that we have for the podcast, where there's a bunch of columns. The first one is like to do, the second one is doing, the third one is blocked, and the last one is done. And I put all of the things, like as soon as I get an idea or something that I want to do, I put it in my to-do pile. And then sometimes, usually before I start my work day, is I go through my to-do pile and I prioritize for the day. And then I try and see what I do. So that's kind of a similar thing. I think yours is more visual, more artistic. And mine is more kind of...
Well, so like, I think It was just after Bridget was born, and I had decided, you know, I'd been playing rugby for how many ever years, and I never got player of the year. So I was like, what else can I do to sort of achieve that goal? And it was sort of in this time I had gone back to school, not really an academic, but ended up on the dean's list, you know, so what else can I do? And the coach I had at the time wanted me to read the book, The Secret.
Oh, really?
Yeah, by Rhonda.
I've heard mixed things about this book.
So
I've never read it, but I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. And so what I liked about it is that it has 28 days of sort of those reflections of different areas of your life. Like it goes from relationships to sort of, you know, yourself, finances, food, all these, everything we have relationship with. And it takes it from the perspective of gratitude. So all of a sudden, it's not like, oh, I appreciate this. Like, again, getting deeper, because then you have to list, oh my gosh, I don't remember how many now, but I think it was about 20 things a day based on this subject of what you.
And this is in The Secret?
Yeah.
Really?
And I believe it was The Secret. Now I'm questioning myself. But yeah, so it was really cool. And so you know, and it was at that, you know, what 10 things you, in the time this internet thing was going on, like sort of list 25 things you're just generally grateful for. But when you have to think about something specific, and then after five, you really have to dig deeper than that, you know? So you start seeing those little things and appreciating it. You know what? I saw that robin today, or hey, I, you know, and it was just, he looked really funny and it made me giggle. Or all of a sudden it's you're seeing things that you kind of didn't before. So I think with that, I started, yeah, kind of going from, I'm just sort of surviving and getting through things and to the next things to then wanting to thrive. And that doesn't mean to be successful. It's just where, like, I'm just feeling good and I'm accomplishing those things I want to do. And again, things become impossible because we think it is.
Okay, so for our listeners, our research team has reached out because they're on the ball today. The secret core principles are the law of attraction: positive thoughts attract positive results, sustained thoughts matter the most, and everything is energy. So there's a bit of that whole kind of esoteric, I'm going to call it BS. You can call it whatever you want. And it's considered as kind of a self-help book and is kind of an instruction on how you can apply it. So it's the whole ask, believe, receive, visualize, and then take action.
Yeah, but I think that kind of sort of trivializes it a little bit, you know, because I really do is sort of what you put out there. So in this time where I'm just trying to figure out these things I want to thrive at, something always negative happened with me and Pat. We were sort of dating or just engaged and whatnot. And you know, it's like, oh, life sucks. And, you know, and life sucks. And I'm like, life can't suck all the time. You know, like, we need to get out of this mentality that the world is against us. I don't think the world cares enough about us.
I think,
right, to personalize it.
Personally, think that that's a place of privilege. I think there's plenty of people in the world for whom the world sucks all the time.
For sure,
life sucks all the time. But I think from our perspective, no. Like, most of our life are pretty cool.
You know, exactly. Like, we don't have the hardships that you're alluding to. So I was just like, we can't keep thinking like this. And it's really hard to be sort of in that negative space. And I get it when all this stuff is happening and you're just like, oh, I'm done. And then this kind of helped sort of switch that a little bit. And the other book that really helped was Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements. Sort of, you know, don't make assumptions, impact of your words, take things personally, and doing your best, you know. So, again, sort of, for me, it was sort of a power dynamic where here I was like trying. And all of a sudden it was like, okay, I am where I am. I have my goals. I can't control everything, but I can control my controllables. And I'm moving in this direction. And so it did. It totally changed my impact in myself. And again, sort of saying, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Oh, I'm not fit. Oh, no, I can't. I'm just going to, you know, I'm good. It really started to be like, what else can I do? And so from there, I ended up going back to grad school. You know, I finished my BA with a 1.86 where you needed 2. But it was a time where they were like, hey, finish these courses and you're good to go. And in my grad studies, I ended up getting like a 3.14. So it's sort of like,
you got into a grad school with 1.8. Wow, that's an accomplishment.
So it was probationary.
Wow.
I had gone back to the CEGEP and showed that, you know, I had gotten on that dean's list. And it's like, okay, so you're not the person you were. And it's been 20 years and you're not just out of, you know.
It's bonkers that we make kids that age make this like lifetime. I screwed up my education like in such a grandiose way when I was at that age, because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I really did not. I was a mess. I should not have been in school. I wanted to take time off. My parents said no. So I went anyway. I should have taken time off. But yeah, it's crazy that we have to make those life-making decisions And like that behavior that you have in those 4 years or 5 years, however, like dictate the rest
of it. The rest of it. And then if it doesn't go this way, then you're like a failure. But I don't, you know what? There was a lot of learning in there. You know what? You can't do full-time school plus 2 full-time jobs and play varsity sports. Like, how dare you? And deal with, you know, a death in your family and Van Dan. So, yeah, was I lost? For sure. Did I have a lot of fun?
Definitely. I don't know very many 19-year-olds who are not lost.
No, but I think that's the expectation. But sometimes we need to, I don't even want to say smoothen those rough edges out, but I think we just need to kind of like polish it up a bit, you know? So yeah, that's what sent me in sort of a change mentality. And then, so when you were talking about bettering yourself, sort of the question that was in my mind is like, to what end, you know? So where I...
Interesting.
Right? And I think that's what I was, because that's what I've sort of been working on in my therapy. Is I didn't realize how much of a perfectionist I was. Like, if, and it wasn't that I want it perfect, but I just always felt things weren't good enough, you know? And so that's one thing I sort of learned is like, hey, I, you know, and that goes, do your best. This is what I was able to do in this moment, in this time. And did I learn? Great. Can I improve in different ways? Cool. Or is this okay? Is this my offering?
I hope you're not going to cause me an existential dilemma, because I've never thought of that in that perspective. Like, to what end? To me, that didn't matter. Like I do this because I kind of feel like that's the point. Like, the point is just to improve. It's. I don't see what...
But are you not good enough the way you are?
I've never felt like it was about being good enough. Like, it's more like the learning, the improving, the process. Like, and I imagine I must get some kind of a dopamine hit.
Yeah. But it's just growing.
It is growing. Absolutely.
Right. Versus, but I don't think that's improving.
It is improving.
Why would it be improving?
How is it not improving?
Well, what if you learn something that's totally useless?
Well, then you don't learn useless things.
No, but like, again, like sometimes, well, again, how many times did you take a class and you're like, okay, so I'm doing my higher education?
Oh, but yeah, but okay, so but
or I learned this new.
But here's the thing.
But I'm not good at it, or like.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you're not good at it.
Exactly.
Like, if you are improving your quality of life, that has value.
Yeah.
Like, so right now I'm doing a math class that's pretty involved. It's a 8-month-long math class. And I made the mistake of peeking at the material that we're going to be learning in the spring, and kind of like, oh boy. But the reason I'm doing it is because I want to do an astronomy class next year, and this is a requirement. Like, I'm not going to be an astronomer. That's no. But like, if I'm just going to have to learn the physics, and there's no point. Like, there's no point other than like, it makes me happy. I have an insatiable curiosity. I'm curious about everything. I mean, it's part of the why we're here, I think. So, and to me, that's improving my mind. It's improving my knowledge. Like, that's one thing that I don't understand about a lot of the world. I don't understand people who aren't curious about things. Like, you see it. Like, people like to stay in their ignorance in a lot of situations, especially these days. And that baffles me. Like,
right. But again, is it improving or is it nourishing? Like, you're nourishing that part of you. Like,
I don't think they have to be either or.
Well, but for some people, education and learning stuff is just not on their radar.
Oh, I know. And that
right?
That I don't understand. Like, I know.
No, but their goal for sort of evolution,
yeah,
or improvement or nourishment could be.
But I don't think most people think about it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I look around me. I look at some of my employees. I look at like colleagues or even some of my friends, probably most of them. Like, I have no desire in a lot of these endeavors, like at all. Like, they're happy. Like, I know people who don't do anything, who watch TV and scroll on Facebook or Instagram or whatever else and have no hobbies to speak of. And I don't know how they do it. I, it's
But I wonder if that's kind of the conditioning that we're going through in some ways, right? Which is sort of, is the word an oxymoron? It's like, you know, you want the bigger, badder, better thing, like sort of this materialism, but yet, like, not much about ourselves, unless it's a physical element, right? So again, that kinetic, but you don't hear often, again, unless it's to support sort of mental health stuff, mentally, you know, and emotionally, but we don't hear of that, you know, hey, have you taken a quiet moment today? Try Xanax. No. but there's always that condition, right? Like, so I just wonder if, you know, if what would the messaging look like if it was about self-exploration?
Well, I think it's one of our problems that we have here in our education system. The way we learn about learning in our education system is not about exploration. And I recently saw a study that was contrasting how they do it in Scandinavia, like places like even like Norway and Denmark. Their approach to education is very exploratory based, where it's, and those kids actually in international metrics, they're scoring really, really high because it's not about the testing. It's not about necessarily the improvement. It's more about exploring interest and getting the joy out of that journey. And I think that's what I get out of it. Like, that's why I think, like, even this, like, because you alluded earlier to like my fitness level, my health stuff, like, and you've seen like the last 2 years as being quite a journey. But now that process, it's an enjoyment thing. Like, it's not just,
it's not work.
It's not like I go to the gym, not because I have to go to the gym. Like, I have a schedule, and the days where I don't go to the gym, I really wish I could. Like, it's yeah, at that point.
It feeds
where,
you. It feeds it, that core.
And it's the same thing with like this, this program I'm doing in university. Like, I want to, like, it, I need to almost, like, it feeds another part of me. And I think, and that's what I don't get for a lot of people. Like, I don't understand how people can live without having certain passions or certain things that feed them. And I understand, like, maybe if I had like three kids, I'd be satisfying things that way with my children, or maybe, or, you know, I'd find other vectors. But like, I legitimately think, like, or at least being my experience, like, I see a lot of people who I find have that missing, and I wonder sometimes if that's how, like, if religion and spirituality comes and feeds a little bit of that hole in a way, like, fills that in a certain way. And I'm not saying that it's the same thing, but I'm saying, like, that's one vector that people explore because you see it when people are searching for them.
Right. And I think that's where these like big religious experiences, all of a sudden, you know, people have this new vision of the world and, oh my gosh, and can you believe it? And actually C.S. Lewis has says, you got to watch out for those warm fuzzies, he calls it, right? Because then you're
I like the warm fuzzy.
But if all you're doing in your spiritual journey is chasing the warm fuzzy.
Yeah, no.
Like this
but that's basically
spiritual experience.
That's just hormonal. Those warm fuzzies are a chemical reaction in your brain.
Right. But then you're chasing a feeling and an experience, not that relationship or that, you know, and I think that's where I think because in some ways I'm gonna say spiritual practice, because we don't have that, we've lost meanings in symbols and rituals and why we do things versus, you know, and we sort of talked about that, like kind of going through the motions versus this is what I'm doing and why I do it and the meaning behind it, right? So a funeral, most people aren't doing like a service anymore. They want to have a party and a celebration of life. Like most funeral homes have, have converted chapels into party rooms.
Wow.
Because people don't identify with that ritual of, you know, no, well, we're not religious. Well, okay, great. But you need to find a way to, for closure and to goodbye.
I find the funeral is rarely about the religion, even like, because I've been to quite a few funerals, like there is that spiritual component, because if you are Christian, you're going to believe to a certain degree that your soul is going somewhere else and that there's a, you know, you want people to recognize that journey of your spiritual self. But I find like those things are usually more about the survivors than the deceased.
Right.
Like it's a processing thing. It's, you know, you kind of have to, humans, I think we're social animals. We work in social, you know, society, like it's right there. The most society is the same root. So we have to have those rituals, I think, to, in order to move on and function as a society. So I don't think the ritual itself is the problem. I think, as we said before, I think it just has to match the time. So I don't think it matters.
Or again, or what is the meaning behind it?
Yeah.
Right? So another ritual that's done in the church is baptism, right? Within the Jewish community, it's a naming ceremony. And it's sort of this initiation into the community and to say, well, who is this person? And it's sort of those hopes and dreams of the parents to the child, right? And again, it's sort of like, I remember Bridget's baptism, and yeah, I went totally nuts, and that was fine because I was all excited. But then it was really nice to sort of see, okay, yeah, this is my community of support as well. Because when you're on your own, but you don't always know who it is.
To me, it's a manifestation of human social nature, because it's interesting, because it doesn't matter what group of humans come together, there is some type of introduction ritual. So you could see how in Catholic, Anglicans, and Christians, there's baptism. That's your introduction to your religious community. When I was in Cub Scouts, the thing was you do your promise that you're part of the thing. When you join a new work, you have your induction. You have your, what you call in French, we call it apologie. We have the, you know, your guide or your buddy that you brings you along. It seems like when I worked at summer camp, we had our orientation. When you go to university and you join a sorority or a fraternity, you rush and you become a pledge. Like there's, I think it's those rituals have value and can become spiritual to a certain extent. And depending on the context, it can be a lot spiritual or it'd be a little bit spiritual.
Oh, for sure.
And sometimes it's spiritual and you don't even realize it is.
But again, I wonder if we sort of look at why we did that or why we do that.
I think it's our nature.
But I don't think we look at it enough. I don't think we examine it enough. I think we, in some of these things, we just sort of dismiss it. Right. So confirmation is a great one to talk about with some of this stuff. Right. Where it's this junction of a young person saying, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Or even an adult, whoever, saying this is a belief system that, you know,
it's your first real choice, I think.
Yeah. In some way.
As in a religious sense, you know,
but it's turning into more of a cultural tradition. Right. Well, yeah. So I'll have a ton of kids in youth group before a confirmation class because parents are making them go and making the time that they have to go. But then once confirmation happens, well, I've done my promise. I don't have to go. So confirmation is seen as an ending to something versus the beginning of something else.
Wow. But it should be seen as the beginning of your adulthood in religion, right?
Right. Like, hey, this is the beginning of my journey. And I'm committing to this community, not, hey, I had a great party.
So do you guys do confirmation prep? I had to do confirmation prep and it was long. It was like a few months.
Well, it depends which church. Like I had a colleague that would do it for 2 years.
Oh my God. That seems crazy.
Right. But
that seems crazy.
Well, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
But then it's also showing a real commitment.
But I remember having a discussion with my mom about confirmation because you're asked basically, like, do you want to confirm? And I didn't want to, or at least I was conflicted and I really didn't know. And in the end, I chose to do it because my practical, logical side was like, well, if I don't do it now, and then I change my mind and next year I have to do this whole rigmarole again. So I might as well just do it now. Everybody's here. You know, so
Right. The logic of a young person.
It is. Right? I was 11, you know.
Yeah.
I remember it. And that's the time where I said that I was presented to the Archbishop as the next Archbishop of Moncton.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And but I think that's a...
So it's a good thing I showed up. So that... the priest would have been so disappointed.
So I had a young person and she came to me and I said, okay. And it was sort of through the group. And I said, we all need to take, you know, the end of this is you taking a promise. And she said, she came to me afterwards and she said, honestly, Jess, I think this is a whole bunch of hooky. And I did this because I promised my grandfather on his deathbed that I was going to do it. I'm like, okay. So that's between you and your conscience if you're going to go up and make this public promise, that, you know, to people. And, you know, we all kind of do it at some point or another. I have no problem with you sort of doing that. I go, but remember, this is the beginning of a conversation of, are you doing this to do this as sort of that rite of age? Or are you doing this for a spiritual journey?
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to sort of acknowledge where I am in that. You know,
because I think everything ebbs and flows, like you said it yourself, like even your own faith, like everything come, it came at some point, went, came back, like it's, and I think that's normal. I think it's also part of the human condition to a certain degree.
Well, right, because we have other learnings and other experiences that we need to go through that's going to challenge. And, you know, like you work out your body, I think spiritually we need to work out. You know, and so, hey, and not putting ourselves into precarious situations to see if my faith will grow by leaps and bounds. No, that's not what it's about.
I'm doing spiritual push-ups. I'm doing
no, that's
Hail Mary.
but again, sort of acknowledging like, hey, this is, you know, is this something that's is this learning environment something that is challenging me to learn something about my faith? Or again, where's that boundary? So part of the preparation I did for this was finding New Year's Eve traditions because I thought it was really funny.
Okay, let's go. Let's
do
it. So
apparently in the Philippines, putting on polka dots is for good luck.
Polka dots?
Polka dots.
Wow.
Jumping off a chair at the stroke of midnight. It's from Denmark.
From Denmark.
Right? So if you don't do it, it's bad luck. Okay. A good Irish tradition. I know, well, we've done it. Is cleaning your house before because you don't want the dust. So the remnants from the year before.
I like that.
Right? So that's out. But then at the same token, there's... I'm trying to find...
Do you have to do it drunk? Because I feel like if you're...
No. Well, I mean, yeah, what's the point while you're doing it? That's fine. But at the same time, there's some that... So you can't clean New Year's one because then you're going to sweep away a loved one.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. So again, we have all these different little things.
Are there, and did you find any for the Caribbean? That's where I'm going to be.
In the Caribbean. Well, apparently, I mean, it's not the Caribbean, but in Japan, you need to make a dish of soba noodles. And it represents longevity, resilience, and a clean break from hardship. So you can hit the buffet for
Japanese
that.
Japanese always have these cute little things they do. It's nice. So, and of course, soba noodles.
Soba noodles. And then, you know, and so the key ritual of sort of the kiss at midnight, right, is that you want that good feeling, that prosperity for the rest of the year. So I think it's, you know, these are all different sort of understandings, but where do they come from? What's it about? So when you sort of read into it a little bit more, it's kind of nice to sort of see where it is. So...
Excellent. So everyone, Happy New Year again. Have you read The Secret? Did you like it? Have you heard of the Four Discernments? No, the Four Agreements. The Four Agreements. To let us know in the comments. Don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Just search for Bare Belief. And believe it or not, that's where there we are. You will find us. I've checked. We're there. You can also find us on barebelief.ca if you want to send us a message. It's a perfect spot to do it. There's a form there, or you can just leave us a comment on there as well. Or you can email us at barebeliefpodcast@gmail.com. So thanks for listening. Have a great new year, Jessica.
You too, Gabriel.
And we'll see you all in 2 weeks.